ثناء على عباده الذين اصطفى. الحمد لله منزه الخلق من عدم، ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك على رسولك خير الخلق كلهم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على بشير النذير محمدا. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على طه سيد المرسلين. بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم، يا خير من دفنت بالقال أعظمه، فطاب من طيبهن القاع والأكم. روح الفدا لقبر أنت ساكنه، فيه العفاف وفيه الجود والكرم. هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته، لكل هول من الأحوال مقتحم. يا رب بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا، واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: وما أبرئ نفسي إن النفس لأمارة بالسوء إلا ما رحم ربي إن ربي غفور رحيم. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. Before starting our talk proper, by way of introduction, our Shaykh Arif Lillah, the Rumi of our time, the Mujaddid of this era, and the second Tabriz, Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Rahimahullah, says before every bayan, make muzakra, discuss one sunnah of Hazrat Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so that the sunnahs of Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam can become alive in the ummah again. The sunnahs are those that are very easy to practice upon, very enjoyable to practice upon, and we might think it's only sunnah, but it pulls the whole of deen into a person. By making it is the catalyst, and it is easy to get to sunnah, and it brings all the farais. It will correct the aqidah and beliefs of a person. It will bring everything into a person. And our Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi has said very many poems with regard to the importance, the benefits, and the necessity of sunnah. One beautiful poem which Allah in His kindness has made famous in the whole world is Naqsh-e Qadam Nabi ke Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam hai Jannat ke raaste. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu se milate hai Sunnat ke raaste. Naqsh-e Qadam Nabi ke hai Jannat ke raaste. Allah se milate hai Sunnat ke raaste. What does this mean? Naqsh-e Qadam Nabi ke, following in the footsteps of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, following the sunnahs. Hey, Jannat ke raaste, this is the road to Jannat. Just like here in this world, if from here, from Katima, we take the road that shows Rundu, and we carry on with that board that shows Rundu, we'll come out in Rundu. If we follow the board that shows Bandu, we'll come out in Bandu. So just like that, a person who follows the board of sunnahs in his life, that is, he practices upon sunnah, he will see, he will come out in Jannat. And another very great benefit of practicing sunnah, Allah se milate hai. A person will get connected with Allah also by practicing sunnah. So you will get Jannat also, and you will get connection with Allah Ta'ala also. Both these things need a little explanation. Jannat, we generally all know, it's a place of great joy and pleasure. In fact, the people who enter Jannat, one of the greatest things they would say, as soon as they enter, Alhamdulillah alladhi adhaba anna al-hazan. All praise is due to Allah who removed worry and sorrow from us. Yeah, in this world, perhaps it's worry that kills a person, that kills every person. Every person, he strives for things, but everything, worry is joined with it. For example, we are grown-up people. There are some who are still young. They want to get married. and parents want to get them married, and when the proposals are accepted, wedding is arranged, etc., we are all happy. But immediately when there's happiness, there is worry also. Today, how many marriages are breaking up? A person gets worried because of that thing. Then afterwards, okay, the marriage takes place. Now you are happy, wedding day, everyone is happy. But inside, everyone has got a worry also. We don't know what can happen. You want a child, and the wife has conceived, you feel happy also. Becoming a father, becoming a grandfather, it makes you happy. But worry also, it must be a healthy child. It mustn't be a deformed child. All these thoughts come to a person all the time. And all along, right through your whole life, you go for a picnic, you go for a holiday. You are happy, you are preparing, the ladies are packing the basket, everything is being arranged. But you are also worried. Today, how many people go for a holiday? They land up in the Kabristan. They land up to be paralyzed. Now, how many? This happens all the time. So there is worry all the time. But one of the great ni'mats of Jannah, that there will be no accident whatsoever. There is absolutely no worry whatsoever. Only pleasure and joy. There will be also picnicking. There will be also water sports. There will be also all type of the enjoyment. But no worry whatsoever. You don't have to worry. A snake might come out from somewhere. You get a puncture, the whole car capsizes. And 3-4 people are dead. The car is finished, a write-off. Like that, nothing whatsoever. Only enjoyment. And in any case, if a person has no problem in this world, but he has to face death, mort is going to come, and we don't know when mort will come also. We say untimely death. There is no untimely death. Allah has fixed the time for everyone who wants. Sometimes in the prime of your life. So how many people in their youth? One young boy in Azad girl, 17 years old, very health conscious also. He was in Senate 9 or Matrik. Many years ago, no cold drink. For a young boy, this is an impossible thing to think. No sweets, no cold drink, no nothing. His principal was going somewhere, and he told him to sleep in the house, look after the house. He slept, never to wake up again. Young boy, so health conscious. So these things happen, nobody got any get. So Mort's worry is what everyone. Beautiful poem. Jo bashar aata hai dunya mein. Any human being, as soon as he comes into this dunya, qada kehti hai, Mort announces, as soon you have just born. And Mort tells you, main peeche chali aa rahi ho, zara dhyan. I'm behind you all the time. Keep it in mind. Don't live a reckless life, this life. Don't think I can just do what I want to, and I don't have to die. And it's not a matter of just dying. If it was just dying, that was also a big matter. But after death, we will be questioned of Allah's ni'mat in this world. For example, father gives his son 5 million rand, go and do business. Then after a month, 2 months, 6 months, whatever, he says, give me hisab now. That what have you done? Where have you invested the money? What returns have come? What has happened? Allah has given us, what is 5 million? What is 50 billion? What is 50 trillion? Nothing whatsoever. Allah has given us life. Every minute that we are living is a gift from Allah. And time is the greatest valuable thing. The person, how many people lose their health, but they get better again? People are reading kalima for them. And they are thinking that we will now prepare for janaza. But the person is up, he's healthy again. And he's walking. How many people lose all their wealth? But Allah Pak gives them again. And they become more richer than that they were before. But time that is gone will never ever come back. And not a single moment will ever come back again. So Allah is going to ask us, how did you spend your youth particularly? How did you spend your time generally in the world? We'll have to answer. Just like today, we have to answer for many things all the time. Police stops you, now also you get little, your pressure goes up again. You know you got your eye, you got your driver's license, you got, but they can take out something. Or he just is in a different mood, and he can just make you, cause you problems all the time. But and in the qabr we're going to be asked. In fact, on that point, there is one beautiful little story. Just a story, but the lesson is very great. There was a king on his deathbed, and he called all his children. He told them, will you people listen to me what I would say? They say, whole life we were listening. Whatever you told us we did, we will listen. No problem. What is it? He says, when I die, I want you to make my kingdom in two halves. They say, no problem, we'll do. What must we do with the two halves? He say, half of my kingdom, you people must share amongst yourself. They say, we are happy with that. That half also is so much. We are happy whatever our share will come out. We are happy. The other half, he said, I want you to announce in my kingdom, any person who's prepared to sleep the first night in the qabr with me, he will get the other half. Now, today we are frightened for qabristan. Mm-hmm. We're frightened for janazah. We feel it's going to spook us or something. So people were not ready, they frightened. But one man who was a very, very poor man, all he had was his sickle to cut grass and a string. He should cut the grass, fasten it, tie it up, and come and sell it in town. And with the money he gets, he buys his two rotis. He eats, he fills his stomach, he drinks water. And wherever he gets a place, he sleeps. So poor, he had no house, he had nothing else, only the sickle and the string. So he said, I'm ready, I'll become a multi-millionaire, I'll be the king. Because the other half, all the children of the king will share. But I will get a whole half to myself, I'll be the king. I'm ready. So he died, the king died, they brought him, they took him, they buried him together. Just a story, but the moral is important that we take. So when they buried, now one is a dead person, one is a living person in the qabr. When Munkar Nakir, the two farishtas who come in the qabr to question, when they came, they say, oh, usually we get one customer. Today there are two customers, what's happening here? So they checked up, one is a living one is a dead one. They say the dead one won't go anywhere. He'll stay here, he can't escape. But the living one can escape. Let's start with him first. So they asked him, amongst the questions that will be asked on the day of Qiyamah, what did you have in dunya? So they asked him, what did you have? And every person, no matter how poor, how rich, he say, everyone feels I got nothing. We're all looking at the one higher than us. A person who got 20 million, he's looking at the million, a person who got 80 million, 100 million. Everyone is looking. According to 100 million, what I got? I got nothing. Everyone thinks like that. So he said, I had nothing whatsoever. They say, no, think, you must have had something. And under interrogation, a person sweats. And his mind doesn't work also. They were grilling him. You must have had something. Finally, he remembered, yes, I had the sickle and I had the string. They said, oh, leave the string one side, that will come to later. The sickle is made of two parts, the handle and the blade. Leave the blade one side, that will come to later. Just the handle, where you got this handle from? So now, again, he's sweating. He can't remember where he got it. Somehow, after heavy interrogation, putting himself under pressure, he remembered some 30 years ago, I was walking through a jungle, and from a tree, a branch, I took it and I made it. They say, whose land was that? Did you have permission or were you trespassing? Did you have permission to walk with it? And you broke from the tree, whose tree was it? Did you have the right to break it? And then you made the handle, you must have used some tools, even primitive tools. But you must have used something to make it. Where from that? He couldn't answer just in the handle. By that time it was morning already. That's why those people came, they dug up the grave that this man is we have to give him red carpet treatment. So when he came out and red carpet treatment, he's getting half the kingdom. He said, Nay Riba, it's your hard journey. I couldn't answer in one handle. How am I going to answer in half of the kingdom of the king? Okay? So like that will be the pressure on the day of Qiyamah. But the people of Jannah will have no tension whatsoever. Once you go to Jannah, and there are three categories also of how a person dies. One is the category register of the kuffar, non-believers, Allah save us from. Okay? Completely Allah save us. Those people are just assigned to Jahannam and Azab. And their life is, we can't even imagine how terrible that will be. Then there are two other registers. The one register is the one of the people who are believers, who brought Iman. They did good deeds also. وَآخِرَ سَيِّعَةً. And they did gunas also. They mixed the two. Okay? And this, and even in dunya, if we mix the two, we're doing good deeds, we make namaz also. We go for Hajj, we go for Umrah, we give zakat also, we keep rosas in Ramzan, all other, we make tilawat of Quran, but we make gunas also. Other gunas, we don't control our eyes, we're looking at other women, and today a terrible guna which is becoming unfortunately so common, porn. On the phone, a person got it with him, he goes to toilet, he's watching porn. He goes to shower, he puts there, he's watching porn. Everywhere, this terrible guna all the time. So we're doing good deeds also, we're doing guna. A person who dies like that, then his matter with Allah is also mixed up. Right? For his good deeds, he will get his sawab, and for the gunas, he will have to pay. And he will be punished for his gunas, unless he makes tawbah. And that is why, really, we should regularly, on a daily basis, whenever we made a guna, make tawbah. At night, before we sleep, make tawbah. Don't sleep. A person who makes sincere tawbah, Allah forgives his guna. And Allah forgives his gunas completely. And his slate is completely clean. So we should regularly make a tawbah. Also, there are many amal actions that we do by which Allah just forgives wholesale guna. And minor gunas, we make wuzu, gunas are forgiven. We walk to the masjid, gunas are forgiven. We make namaz, gunas are forgiven. But major gunas, that we must make tawbah. Hey, any major guna that we do, we got jealousy for people. We got hatred for people. We backbite about people. We slander people. In business we do wrong dealings. Whatever, all those are major. And then again, there are two categories there also. One are the gunas that are connected with Allah Ta'ala. Allah forgives wholesale. Allah is most merciful. But there are other gunas which are connected with fellow people. Sometimes how we treat the wife, we shout at her, we treat her so horribly, etc. If she doesn't, like they are kind, they forgive us also. But if she doesn't forgive, we will be responsible. With our workers sometimes, how we just get cross and we just take off with them. And then we realize, no, it wasn't the poor chap's mistake also. But he's a poor worker, he can't even say anything. It's a case against us filed by Allah Ta'ala. And Qiyamah says, if we didn't ask him maafi, we didn't make him happy about it, Qiyamah says, we have to answer for that. And there, especially, the ulama have said, if you want to do wrong, don't do wrong, but do wrong to believers. Because they know that if we make maaf, then we will also go to Jannah. But the kafirs know that we make maaf, it's no different. They won't want to make you maaf. They will hold you to ransom, to task, they will hold you. And then how will we get free there? Yeah, sometimes a small problem you get involved in, a traffic fine you didn't pay, or anything, and the cops are asking, or for anything else, they are coming to knock at your door 12 o'clock at night. They want to arrest you. They want to do, it's a problem. You haven't got peace all the time. Qiyamah day, where are you going to escape the cops there? The malaika. What will happen? So therefore, Jannat is that place which we all understand that the third register is those people who regularly make tawbah. Human beings, we are going to make sins. We are not angels. We are going to falter. But as you try to stay away from sin, you keep on making tawbah, more you will stay away from sin. And more easy it will be to live a righteous, a correct life. So those who come, whose name goes in the third register, the one of the awliya, the friends of Allah, those who obeyed Allah's commands, who stayed away from sin, perchance anywhere they committed the sin, they make tawbah. Those people go directly into, they are VIPs by Allah Ta'ala. They are first class passengers. Like in the aeroplane, if you're a first class passenger, you get what treatment? Every now and then, you want this, you want this. All the best you get in everything. And if you're a VIP, as soon as you get off the aeroplane, somebody is waiting with your name on a board. They take you straight to the VIP lounge. There you are enjoying aircon. You are enjoying all the fruit, ice cream. What things they have in the VIP lounge. You don't have to do immigration also. You don't have to do customs also. They take your passport. They take your baggage tags. They get your bags. They get your passport stamp. They come to you, mister. Yes, your passport. Yes, your baggage. There's the VIP car. You can go now. Just like that, wallah. For those people who live their lives like this, Qiyamah Day, they will get VIP and first class treatment. In the VIP truck, in the truck in the qabr, first class treatment. On the day of Qiyamah, announcement will be made for various people. Amongst them, one group, we are the tahajjud guzar, those people who used to make tahajjud. And tahajjud you can make before, after Isha. If you can get up in the morning, mashallah, very good. You get up 4 o'clock, whatever time tahajjud time gets finished. What time? Yeah, about 5, quarter past 5. Round about that time. Before that you make your tahajjud. But after you finish your 3 or 4 faras of Isha, through sunnat e muakkada, then you can make your tahajjud. After that make your witr. 2 rakats if you make, even in a sitting position, but your tahajjud will be counted. And for tahajjud, there is so great reward by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who in one hadith, just that 2 rakats and to make it after Isha, what difficulty is it? We got wuzu also, and you are in the masjid, environment of namaz, and our 2 rakats are going to take us half an hour. Our 2 rakats take us 2 minutes, but we will be counted amongst those who make tahajjud. And on the day of Qiyamah, when it will be announced, where are the tahajjud guzar? All of them will, it will be what a big group. From Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's time, till Qiyamah, say how many people? So if we, our tahajjud was not with Surah Baqarah and Ali Imran, with our 2 suparas that we're reading in tahajjud, 5 suparas, there were those people who their whole night they spend in tahajjud. They will be in the first saf. But if we're not in the first saf, we won't be left out from the last saf. We will be in that group, and what they're going to get, we will also get. And another great thing, Allah is so merciful and kind, that when a person starts, so to say, working for Allah, he makes nafil ibadat also, tahajjud, ishraq, chash, he starts making, it's like working in Allah's company. And when you work in Allah's company, Allah gives you pension also. Dunya's people learn from Allah to give pension. There was pension that when you are old and you cannot manage now because of old age, but you are working for, if you are not working for Allah, somebody not working for us, he's an old man, he says, I want pension, he comes to your shop. Who are you? I don't know, you from a bar of blue soap. He says, no, I'm just walking on the road, I thought perhaps you'll give me pension. So you can't get, yes, you are, the person was working for you 20 years, 30 years, whatever it is, then you give him pension. So Allah gives pension if in old age you can't. Allah Ta'ala gives sick leave. If you are ill and you cannot make your nafil ibadat, Allah tells the malaika to write the same sawab. So Allah gives sick leave also. Allah gives travel allowance also. If you are on safar and you cannot make it, Allah says, no, tell the malaika that he's on safar now. That's why he can't make it. But write the same sawab. But work in the company of Allah. Start with your nafil ibadat. And whenever you cannot, for these reasons, valid reasons, still you will get the sawab. So tahajjud is a great ibadah. 4 great rewards in one hadith. Firstly, da'wus salihin. It is the practice of the pious people. So you will be, your name will be written in not Guinness Book of Records. We don't need our name in there. Your name will be written in those, in the people who are the salihin. There is one register by Allah, which is exclusive with the names of the Salihin. And from Adam alayhi salam's time till the day of Qiyamah, whoever is the Salihin, his name. So a person who just makes 2 rakats, it takes you 2 minutes. You read wal asrin, inna asina, still your name will come in there. So even if it's not on the first page, it won't be left out from the last page. Your name will be there. Another great advantage of the first thing is that when you are now counted amongst the Salihin, then all the people who are making namaz in the world, how many millions of people in the Haram of Mecca, how many people are making namaz? Haram of Medina, everywhere, Pakistan, Karachi, Kuala Lumpur, Indonesia, Jakarta, the whole world, how many people are making namaz? Each one is making namaz for you. If you make your making dua for you. How? Because everyone in his attahiyat, he says, Assalamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. By you making the 2 rakats, you have entered in ibadi salihin. Now the whole world, not with du'as of people out of namaz. And today we have to tell everyone, please make du'a for me. Yeah, you are getting the du'a without asking the person. And in namaz du'a, in the faras namaz, in the nafil namazes, all namazes, the person is busy making du'a for you. The second thing, qurbatul lakum inda rabbikum. You become a VIP by Allah Ta'ala. As I explained on the day of Triana, announcement will be made. Where are the Tahajjud Guzar? No immigration for you. No Hisab Kitab. No customs for you. Your Amal won't be checked. You come here under the Arsh of Allah Ta'ala. And there will be the cool breeze. There will be what food. And it will be said, if you want to, see the people who are going through interrogation, who are going to, who are drowning in the sweat because of the guna, etc. The heat that is so intense, you will be safe from it. If you want to, you can see what's happening. You want to see your family people, you want to see your friends, what happened to them. You can stay and see. And if you want to, you can go straight to Jannah. Just for 2 rakats tahajjud, so we can get this great reward. Then the third is, mukaffaratul lisayyi'atikum, that your sins are forgiven. By making tahajjud, the 2 rakats, Allah forgives your sins. And when you keep on and your sins are being forgiven, this is a sign that Allah is going to save you from sins in the future. Past sins, whenever they are forgiven, now Allah will give you tawfiq to stay away from sin and to do more good deeds also. And qurbatun lakum mukaffaratun li sayyi'atikum wa manhiyatun 'anil ithm. And tahajjud namaz is that powerhouse that stops you from guna. Like many of us, we are committing guna, but we hate it. We don't like it. Why I fell into this guna? I hate myself for it. But we fall again. We make tawbah, sincere tawbah. Next, you see, you fall. Like the electricity, which comes from the power station. As it supplies, it becomes weaker. Then they put a substation, mini station, to boost it again. The hajjud is there. It boosts you, gives you that power again. Now you develop that power in yourself to stay away from guna. So the hajjud, what a great ibadah. Allah give us tawfiq of that also, inshallah. So we were talking about going Jannah and all the ni'mats there. So by following sunnahs, we will get all these ni'mats. And we will get Jannah also. But in any case, Jannah is Jannah. And Allah is Allah. Jannah, one thing, is credit also, udhar. If we practice, we make namaz, Jannah is not here now. We have to live our whole life, the life of the Qadr, the day of Qiyamah, that will be so long. Finally, inshallah, Allah will give us, and all the Muslims, Allah give us all Jannah, inshallah. It's a long way. The other thing is that Jannah cannot compare with Allah Ta'ala. For example, if a person has got a soap factory and is producing 10,000 soap cakes a day, in the month 30,000 soap cakes he's making in his factory. He's got a candle factory also. He's got 5-10 filling stations also. He's got 5-10 supermarkets also. He's got 5-10 blocks of flats. He's got so many farms also. What is the comparison of one cake of soap to the owner? A man who owns so many things, so he's so rich. One cake of soap, $1. How much is it? $2. Where can it compare with that man? Just like that, Jannat sir ankhon pe. We all want. And it's a place of great, and we must ask Allah for Jannat. But compared to Allah, Jannat also is nothing. Not even, really, not even like the cake of soap in compared to Allah Ta'ala. Allah has created Jannat, one Jannat. Allah can make 20 Jannats. How beautiful Allah has made Jannat and so enjoyable. Allah can make it 200 times more beautiful. But another Allah you can't get. Allah is only one. Wahdahu la shariq. He's not only one. Laysa kamithlihi shay. Nothing is like Allah Ta'ala. So, by sunnah you will get this Jannat also. And by sunnah you will get Allah Rabbul Izzah. I usually say, in order to understand the great beauty and kindness of Allah Ta'ala, if there is a boy, young boy, marriageable age, his mother's name is Fatima, his sister, auntie's name is Fatima, he doesn't get much enjoyment in the name Fatima. But now he's engaged to a girl whose name is Fatima. Now it's different. Now that name, forget the girl, the name also, it makes him go mad. And he won't just say Fatima or Fatim or Patli or Patu. And somebody say like that, he gets cross also. He'll go to Qarisa and he'll say that, make my Taas Makhraj correct also. I must pronounce it properly, Fatima. And at night he can't sleep with the random and with enjoyment. Fatima, Fatima. He's gone mad in the love of Fatima. There is a different story. After 3-6 months, he'll fight like cats and dogs with poor Fatima. But at the moment, he's so madly in love with her. So just think for yourself. One Fatima made you mad. Allah, who is the creator of millions of Fatimas. What is Allah's beauty? And Allah's kindness? And Allah's grace? Allah, who is the creator of billions of Khadijas and Aishas and beautiful waterfalls and beautiful sun rising over the mountains and setting over the seas, all this beautiful scenery, who is the maker of Allah? And this is all just a small little, a little little taste of what the beauty of Allah. If you get Allah himself, a poet says so beautifully, "Ek tu mera to har shay meri." If you are mine, O Allah, everything is mine. Zameen meri, falak mera. The earth is mine, the heavens are mine. Ek tu nahi mera, to koi shay nahi meri. If you are not mine, nothing is mine. And to understand this, there are a lot of examples to give ways to understand it in different ways. That if Allah is yours, everything is yours. If Allah is not yours, nothing is yours. For example, you are married, you got your wife, it's yours. But if you didn't make Allah yours, you didn't make Allah happy. That wife is yours, but Allah will use her to torment you. You'll have endless problems from morning to night, and you won't be able to divorce and get rid of her also. The way your condition, your children are there, the family situation, you can't divorce her, and you're not living, you're not, she's tormenting you. The way she treats you, the way Allah uses her, it's not she herself also, it's your actions. You haven't, it comes in the Hadith Sharif. Man aslaha ma baynahu wa bayna rabbihi. A person who makes his conditions good, his relationship between him and Allah. Aslaha Allahu ma baynahu wa bayna khalqihi. Allah makes your relationship with the creation. Allah makes it good. But so that wife, if you made Allah happy, I promise you, she can be the wife that you thought of giving divorce, you hated her, but you started working on the right side of things. You made Allah happy. Allah will, that same wife will be a source of great joy to you. Things will change so much. Everything you will forget of the past, and Allah will give you a wonderful life. Your business is your business. Your car is your car. But if you make Allah unhappy, that car will leave you in the middle of the desert. And the car will cause you, crooks to come and cause you problems. And it can be a brand new, good car. It can fail. The computer system fails. And now you are just left. And if Allah is yours, you can be driving an old jalopy also. Allah will take you safely and reach your place safely. Hey, we all know about the story of the rabbit and the tortoise. The rabbit was so fast, but it got left behind. Hey, the tortoise, which is so slow, it won the race. So if Allah is yours, you make Allah happy, everything will be in your favor. And so this is what we have to strive for, to make Allah. And to make Allah happy, simple way, sunnat way. Maulana Abrarul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say, sunnat ka tariqa ashal tariqa. You want to do anything, you do it sunnat way, is the easiest. For example, you make salam with one another, 24 hours say, assalamu alaikum. But if you're speaking English, Afrikaans, 12 o'clock in the day, now you have to watch your watch. As I say, goeiemôre, as I say, goeiemiddag. Hey, if it's before 12, it's goeiemôre. And if it's after 12, it's good afternoon. Now you have to watch your, many times you say sorry also. You say good morning, and you say sorry, sorry. Good afternoon. It's all a different times. Salam is one. You don't have to look at your watch. Middle of the night, 12 o'clock, you have to speak to somebody and you have to tell him, now you think before 12 is good night and after 12 is 8 a.m. is morning. Okay? Now, but it's still dark, but you have to say good morning. But it's complete pitch dark stuff and you have to say good morning. Salam is just one. You don't have to worry anything. Assalamu alaikum. Then secondly, sunnat ka tariqa, ajmal tariqa is the most beautiful. Anything you want to do, even a wedding, even your dressing, your house, anything you do it sunnat way, there is nothing more. That is the most beautiful way to do it. For example, take with salam, assalamu alaikum. And this one alim came to us one time from Bangladesh, and he explained three three beautiful meanings of salam. One is assalamu alaikum, the common meaning, peace be upon you. And this peace is from Allah Ta'ala. If a person got peace, really, this is, many of us don't understand, but what we want in life is peace. But we are looking for it in the wrong place. Like one poor person who had nothing in his life, only one gold coin. That's all he had. He lost it. And he was living in a tent shanty, in a little bit, in a hut, in a tent shanty. Now when he lost it, he was looking for it under the street light on the street. So his friend went past, asked him, what's wrong? He said, I lost my gold coin. He said, I know you are. You got nothing else. You only got this gold coin. Let me help you look for it. Look for a while. And as is common, where you lost it? He said, I lost it in my tent shed. Then why are you looking for it here? Because I got no lights in my tent shed. And yet there is a bright light. You can look for it there till the cow go home. How can you get it where it isn't? You can only get it where you lost it. So peace, salamati from Allah Ta'ala. Today that peace is when we make salam to Allah. We enter the house today, we're not making salam. We enter, we are shouting, we are screaming, etc. We leave the house, we are telling, do this, do that. We're not making salam. We start driving, no bismillah. We just started driving. So all this, then where was the peace? We are looking for peace. And what we are earning, and more we are earning, why we are doing for peace. But we're looking for it in the wrong place. Look for it in the right place. The masjid, the commands of Allah, the deen of Allah. And one thing which is so simple, Maulana Mazhar Sahib, who is our Shaykh's son, he says that when previously, it wasn't long ago, salam was common. There weren't sicknesses in the house. There was love between the people in the house. Obedience of children for their parents. There was happiness. You slept and you slept in peace. Today, no peace, no salam. So no peace also. Our doors, no matter how much we lock them, no security. Our cars, what cars we got, what roads we got. Accidents, how many? In the past were there accidents like this. Today, what? Because that salam is not there, that peace from Allah is not there. What cars we got, what roads we got, but no peace anywhere. Between husband and wife relationship, no salam. So salam, if we make, there will be peace. Illnesses. By making salam, there won't be illnesses. Today there are such sicknesses, we got no answer. Jaru, so much problem, everything. Because no salam. That is why it was causing all the problems. Financial problems. Small people got small financial problems. Big people got big financial. A small man, if you give him R1,000, you gave him a lot. But a big man, what's R1,000? Not even pocket money. He talks by the millions. So if he runs short of money, he needs millions to sort himself out. So, but anyway, if there is salam, Allah will give peace. So that is the one. The second, the meaning of peace which he explained, as-salam is the name of Allah. As-salamu al-mu'minu al-muhaiminu al-azizu al-jabbar. So that means, may Allah be with you. Like for example, the father was the whole night with the family. In the morning he's going to work. So he tells the family, assalamu alaikum. The second meaning will mean that assalamu, yani Allah be with you. Peace is there, but Allah be with you. They also feel so much of consolence that my father, the husband, the head of the family, he was with us, he's going. But he's leaving Allah in place by us. How lot of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a great sahabi, when his father passed away, who gave me consolence, nobody gave me such. He came to me, he said, Abdullah, your father has passed away. I said, yes. He said, he's gone to Allah. I said, yes. He asked, who can look after him better, you or Allah? Allah can look after. He said, then why are you worried? What you couldn't do, your father, Allah is doing for him. So why? So when Allah is with you, what you got to want? And the family also replies and says, wa alaykum as-salam. You were with us, you were safe in home, in the house. The house was locked. You are going on the roads. On the roads, accidents can happen. On the roads, hijackings, robberies can take. You will be in the business. Robberies can take place. May Allah be with you and protect you. What a great. This is in our salam. And the third meaning of salam, that it's a guarantee. When one person makes salam to the other person, I give you guarantee, I won't have a bad eye in your wife, in your daughter, your sister, your money, your respect, your honor. I won't backbite about you. I won't slander. I give you guarantee. And that person gives you guarantee in return. So this is salah. But just see how sad our case is. Because we're not connected with deen. And we never perhaps thought, what does hello mean? Hello is made of two words, hell and low. So you tell the person hello, you tell him you go to hell. And you go to the lowest part of hell. And he tells you in return also, you also go to hell. And you go to the lowest part of hell. What a salam we got. But tahiyyatan min indillah, mubarakatan tayyiba. A greeting from Allah, imported from Jannat our salam. And it is full of barakat, and it is pure tayyiba. But what we have brought it? For hell. And when we make salam also, we don't make properly salam. If we do make salam, like that we pronounce, so our Maulana Abbas Jina, who is the president of Jamiatul Ulama, he explained to us one time that his father was a very pious man, an old man in breath. We alhamdulillah saw him, we sat with him also. So he says in those days when the telephone was through the exchange, we had to turn and then the operator used to connect number 13 and number 5 and there stuff, and then he should connect you. And then, but he had to listen also to make sure you are connected. So he asked Maulana Abbas Ali Jina's father that why you Muslims, whenever you people start talking, the first thing you say is Slanum of the Kop. And the reply comes from that side, he used it as Slanum of the Kop. And we don't say Wa alaykum as-salam, how it must be put, Ma alaykum as-salam. So he used it as Ma alaykum as-salam. So he said, why you people always, whenever you start a conversation, Salam of the Kop, my confess, where our salam and what we, because we don't pronounce it properly. Cape Town people usually salam, salam, salam. That is not correct. And we, Salaamu Alaikum. No, Assalamu Alaikum. And don't be shy. In the house when we come, why are we shy to make salam? In our business, why are we shy to make salam? It's such a great thing, a ni'mat Allah Ta'ala has given us. So anyway, so this is one sunnah of making salam. And for salam, there are so great rewards also by Allah. A person who makes salam first, Allah purifies him from pride. That person won't have pride in him. A person who has got pride waits for others to make salam. I come in the house, my wife must make salam. No, we make salam when we are coming in the house. When we leave in the house, and in fact salam should be so common, it comes in the Hadith Sharif. Afshu salam baynakum. Make, spread the salam amongst you. The word afshu, ifsha, comes from ifsha. It's used in Arabic also, in the hadith also. For ifsha is sir. You don't spread somebody's secret. You know somebody did something wrong by mistake, the poor man. So you know his secret, don't go and spread it. But if you want to tell somebody, I'm telling you a secret, but don't tell anyone. And see how it will spread. Or you just tell your woman. You tell a woman and see how their secret spread. How fast it, we were supposed to spread salam like that. But we today, we hear anything about anyone. Oh, these phones are going. You heard what happened. You heard. We didn't even verify whether it is the truth or anything. And we just start spreading the news. No, the salam we should spread like that. So it comes in the Hadith Sharif. If two people are walking and a tree comes, and one goes this side of the tree, one goes this side. When they meet, they should make salam again. So common salam should be. In our times, it translates into, we are going to the car. So the one person driver, we're going from the driver's side, we coming from this, make salam again. So common salam should be made, there will be peace everywhere. And then in the house, for example, the wife is preparing breakfast, cooking, whatever. We were in the bedroom, we came. And when you enter the kitchen, make salam. You are in the bedroom, the wife comes there, make salam. Salam must be made very, very common. And then see the barakat of our deen is a whole treasure pot of what things. This we only have discussed about salam. What about all? And the same way, in the car, in the business. My one uncle, Allah grant all of our marhumin Jannah. He had a habit, according to Islamic man, he should go to his shop and he should open the shop and lock the door again. Until he doesn't complete his one supara there. One supara at home after Fajr. Then the same supara in the shop again.
And when he completely supara, then he opens the shop. So then you'll see the barakah. We will be saved of problems, our fights, our arguments. Now with the labor department, now with the workers, now with this person. All the time tension, all the time sort out this person, sort out that problem. Bring their salam, make it common. Make Quran Sharif common. And then Allah will, you will sit peacefully. And Allah will give you, and you will be surprised. Allahu Akbar. One person, they ordered a certain item, I can't remember, it's very long now. They delivered the wrong item. Very similar, but the wrong item. And by how many thousands they had ordered. And if now those people, the suppliers didn't want to take it back. He's sitting with it, but I'm looking for this here. And exactly what he had, and he wanted it in the number he had, he bought the whole lot. That which you had dead stock, you had written it off, dead stock. Where when you, Allahu Akbar, I'll just mention this. Once one prominent family of Azad, very long, and I was just still new. The brothers, they were all in business together, partnership. They decided to dissolve the partnership. Every brother goes his own way. They called me to oversee everything. So I went there, and all they were discussing that all their balance sheets and whatever they have got. And they divided and shared out everything nicely, in a nice amicable way. One brother that was regarded, they should regard him as a useless brother. He goes about 10 o'clock to shop. And then not to shop, he goes masjid first. Makes wuzu, namaz, tilawat, zikr, everything. Then he goes to shop. Before the muazzin, he's back for zuhar. Then he's again making zuhar namaz. And then after zuhar, he's the last one to leave the masjid again. So they all said, this brother, he is useless. No money. But anyway, he also showed his prophets everything. Everything was sorted out. Then he took out, in those days, when 20 rand note was the biggest note, full was 20 rand notes. And nobody knows about it. He opened it, he said, this is the prophet, it doesn't belong to me, it belongs to the company. He made the biggest prophet than all, who goes 10 o'clock, not shop, he goes masjid. And he makes namaz and all that. First one back to the masjid again. Last one out of the masjid. We make sure he's there for asr again. In winter again, asr time. But when he took out this, everyone's eyes popped out. And they saw, they got their share, they were happy. But he was honest also. That is also one thing. The other thing is the barakat that was there. Though it looked that he was a person, in fact that whole family, all have passed away. He's the only. And I feel ashamed. Ramzan Taraweeh comes, Allahu Akbar, he's so old, he can't walk. They have to help him. But 20 rakats he stands and makes his taraweeh. So this is the barakat when deen we will bring in our land. May Allah give us tawfiq. Today we hardly took off, sir. We only started warming the castle. But we got one more night still, inshallah. We didn't even reach and come to our subject, only the introduction. But inshallah, Allah give us tawfiq to make amal. And tomorrow night we'll have a talk again. After Fajr, we inshallah have zikr majlis also. After Zuhar, a short talk. After Asr, bihamdihi subhanakallahumma wa bihamdihi nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu. And remember, Allah made an excuse, you came here for business or whatever. Allah wanted azan to take place in this part of the world. Allah wanted our sajdas to take place. Allah wanted us to give da'wah to the non-Muslims. Our beards, our dressing, today we are coming, one man told, they stopped us at the roadblock. He said, first time in my life I heard about women in burqa and parda. But first time in my life I saw this. So this is all da'wah, this traveling like this, our namaz is sometimes by the airport, on the road we stop, we make namaz. All this is da'wah, to make that properly our object here. And where there was this masjid, where azans were taking place here. Allah accept us and Muslims for the da'wah of deen in the whole world, inshallah.